Aloha. The Kilauea Neighborhood Association, Hanalei Te Haina Community Association, and the PTSA Kilauea School is happy to present this forum to provide the opportunity for the North Shore community. Thank you. Opportunity for the North Shore community to voice their concerns and hear the state representative stands on those issues. We please ask the public to be respectful and demonstrate aloha during this event. Our representative for the 14th district is incumbent Derek Kawakami. Derek Kawakami. Our challenger, Jonathan Huamana Vanui, who is not able to be here tonight, was to be represented by someone else who is not here also. So our game plan changes a little bit, and we will have a three-minute platform introduction by our candidate, and then he will answer six questions that have already been organized. And then he'll have a final one-minute closing. And we'll see how it goes from there. 3 minutes.
Aloha and good evening, everybody. I want to first and foremost thank all the organizations that put this event on. I know it's not easy. I know there's a lot of things going on right now, but I'm very fortunate and blessed that you guys took the time to create an event like this so we can have this dialogue with the community. My name is Derek Kawakami. I'm the representative of the 14th District. And I just want to say thank you all for coming out and spending some time with us this evening. I know there's a lot of going on tonight. It's a very busy Wednesday evening. Everybody is trying to get prepared for a storm. So just the fact that you're sharing a part of your day with all of us is a testament to your love and aloha for Kauai. So from the bottom of my heart, mahalo. I want to thank my wife, Monica. She's here with us today. Monica, say hi. I just really want to thank her for being supportive and for allowing me to do this. I know it ain't easy, and I couldn't do it without your support and patience, and of course my two kids. And my two dogs who are my biggest supporters, because when everything is going wrong, they still love me. But thank you all so much for being out here. In 2004, I was a co-chair for Senator Inouye's campaign on Kauai. I was elected in 2006 to the KIUC Board of Directors, where I served as second vice chair and also chair of the Strategic Planning Committee. And as chair of that committee, during that tenure, we were able to create the strategic plan that called for 50% renewable energy, which is above and beyond what the state's goals were. We were also able to remove coal off of the table when we had our IRP. When we had the integrated resource planning, a fellow director of mine who was chair at the time, Dennis Isaki, stood and dug our heels in to say that the cost efficiencies of coal was not worth the price to the environment. So we were effectively able to remove coal from the mix. In 2008, I was elected to the Kauai County Council, where I served as chair of public safety. I also served as the president of the Hawaii State Association of Counties, and I served at the national level as one of the board of directors for the National Association of Counties. In 2011, we were appointed to the State House when there was a vacancy created by Rep. Marita. She has some pretty big shoes to fill, but I think we've been doing pretty good so far as she became the chair of the PUC. 2012, we were elected. I served as vice chair for Energy and Environmental Protection, and I currently serve as vice chair for the second largest committee in the House, the Committee on Consumer Protection and Commerce. I'm also the assistant majority leader of the House. I'm one of two appointed participants on the Hawaii Invasive Species Council, and of one of two representatives appointed by the Speaker of House to serve on the Broadband Advisory Assistance Committee, which is tasked with beefing up our IT infrastructure to move us into the next century. Anyway, thank you so much. I look forward to answering some questions, and once again, thanks for being here. Aloha.
Thank you, Mr. Kawakami. First question, as Kauai's needs are very different than Oahu's and other outer islands' needs, what are your strategies to keep Kauai's identity?
Thank you, Mr. Chalman. That's a very good question. I can tell you the first thing that we did when we were appointed to the House is we made sure that we brought the Finance Committee, which is the most powerful committee in the House, to come and visit the 14th District. We were able to share in lunch with Waipa, and through that through that relationship, bringing all of the different islands, a lot of the Oahu legislators to Kauai, really gave them firsthand experiences to who we are as a people and what we are as an island and what we want to look like moving forward. So we brought them to Waipa. We established that relationship, and with the hard work of Stacy Sproat and Joanna Ventura and everybody else at Mixpoi and Waipa, we were able to support them. When Waipa came up to us and said, hey, we need some kokua for our poi mill, for our haleimu, for our commercial kitchen so that we can support agriculture, we were able to deliver that money. We met with various principals so that they could meet and see the schools that we serve, so that when Mr. Chaltman and Principal Gonzalez are saying, hey, we need some money for that old cafeteria so we can renovate it, create more administrative space, open up more classroom space, we were able to do it. Mr. Chaltman, do I got 2 minutes? Is somebody going to flag me with some time? Or I can go ahead? Oh, boy. No, but really, just we're able to bring them down to go see Auntie Makaala and Auntie Barbara. We brought the committee down there. The Bridges Committee took a look with Joe Guy so that we could explain to them why we're trying to preserve our sense of place, why these bridges are so much more than just bridges, why they're part of our island, why they're part of the 14th District. So the most effective strategy is a komomai attitude. Come, welcome. We bring them here so they can see our people, they can see, feel, hear, taste what we're all about, and build those relationships. Just a few days ago, we were able to bring the head of the Department of Agriculture to Kauai to go visit the Moloa farmers so they could see the wonderful things that's happening out there, the farming, the food production, to look at the infrastructure needs. And I can tell you, he was very impressed, and we're going to go fight for that money, go improve that infrastructure. When Malama Kauai with Yosh over there coming up to the legislature saying, hey, we got this Kilauea Ag Park on the books for so many years. We need some help with a GIA grant. They came up and they effectively lobbied for some money. We just got to go get it released. So I think the best strategy is just being who we are as a people of Kauai. We've always been welcoming. That's why so much people are attracted to us. That's why we have so much coalitions with the other islands. That's why when we had storms that washed away that road in Kilauea, we had Oahu legislators giving up their CIP money in their districts, money that was supposed to be going to their schools to say, you know what, we got a kokua Kauai, we got a kokua the 14th district and the people. They unselfishly gave up their CIP money for this district. That's the best strategy, just being who we are as Kauai, very welcoming, love, and aloha.
Thank you, Mr. Kaukavi. I may be out of line, but I'd like to personally thank you for the money for the Kilauea School cafeteria. I know the principal met with the design committee today, and it is moving forward. It will help Kilauea School make sure the kids are not having classes outside. Question number two. How do you see the state's role in reducing the cost of energy for the average citizen for both home and transportation uses?
As far as reducing the cost of energy, I think we took some great strides in the legislature. There are a few things that we're trying to do. The one big thing we did is we freed up some latitude for the PUC to operate. Many people don't know that Chair Morita, our very own Mina Morita, who is doing a great job at the PUC, who's always been an advocate for energy sustainability and renewable energy, she has been under the purview of Department of Taxation, which makes no sense. To have the PUC under the Department of Tax is like oil and water. So what we did is we shifted her office under DCCA, where she has more latitude to operate and she has more flexibility to hire and do her administrative duties. As far as the state's role is reducing energy, I think we got to lead by example. One of the things that we tried to do this year that we're going to push for again is to allow for a tax credit for utility-scaled battery backup systems and energy storage systems. What that will do is shore up our system and create what you would call an intermittent energy source, which is our photovoltaic systems, and create firm power so that more people can jump onto the system as far as being able to generate their own electricity. As far as for fuel prices and gas prices and transportation costs, I can tell you, as far as fuel taxes go and gas taxes go, it's taxed at every level of government, federal, state, and county. So we just have to ensure that we resist the easy urge to increase any kind of tax on fuel, because I can tell you for the people of the 14th district, you guys are impacted more than the people that live in the urban core, because you guys are the ones that have to drive in and out of town. I think the third thing we can do is support our public transportation system, the Kauai Bus. They have a great program. We got a bus stop in every single one of our stores. When we owned and operated Big Save before we sold to Times, we would see that ridership increase. And just recently, we partnered up, Menihuni Food Mart, with the county through the Blue Planet Foundation, and we started selling, at cost, bus passes in every single one of our Menihuni Food Marts. So instead of having to go into Lihue to pick up your monthly pass, you can just walk into the Menihuni Food Mart, pick up your bus pass. Recently, the legislature just sent some money down to the county to help them with their bus shelters. So we're creating this partnership to help support and maintain public transportation. The fourth thing we can do as far as transportation, are you really going to time or I can keep on going? I'm just going to keep going, man. Hey, it's not my fault they didn't show up. So I'm going to use their time too, if that's cool. You guys okay with that? Thank you. So the fourth thing, really, and this is a broad 15, 20, 25, 30-year vision. We got to do more smart planning when we're planning our communities. We got to start developing where it's appropriate, and that's near the urban core of Kapaa, Lihue, and certain areas in the west side. And I tell you why. The whole old philosophy of how we zone things, where we said we're going to create all residential in one area, and we're going to put commercial in one area, and we're going to put all the industrial in one area, what that has done is create urban sprawl. So now all of a sudden, when you need services and goods, you got to jump in your car and drive from point A to point B, which is not how we used to do it back then. When our parents and our grandparents were growing up, we had a vibrant Main Street station. We had a vibrant Main Street system where you had businesses amongst residential and commercial. People could walk to and from work. That's what we got to do. We got to start looking at our development. We got to create live, work, and play areas where there's mixed use to help negate the need to have to jump into a car. That's one of the reasons why I introduced and we passed the Safe Routes to School Bill. It's the first statewide Safe Routes to School Bill that allows for certain monies to be allocated to the counties so they can go and renovate and do improvements to create more walkability and bikeability near our school areas. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kawagami. Question number three. As the government monies are more limited, how would you manage the shortfalls of education, law enforcement, quarantine, and agriculture inspections, and the failing infrastructure?
That's a very good question. You know, everything comes down to revenues and expenses, and I got to tell you that we went through the worst economic crisis. When I was first elected into office in 2008, we were faced with the worst recession, the worst economic climate since the Great Depression, which is profound. When we got up to the legislature, we had to make some very tough decisions, very unpopular decisions, but I believe that they were the right decisions. And sometimes the right decisions are not popular. It's just like my kids. I'm going to make decisions for them inside the house that they ain't going to be happy with, but it was a right thing to do, and we had to make some cuts. Right now, we're trying to restore services that we had to cut. Right now, there's some profound unintended consequences. The problem with the revenue, with our revenue shortfall, is that we are heavily dependent on the visitor industry and tourist industry, which is fine. The only thing wrong with that, or the problem that we're seeing, is very volatile. It goes up and down with no predictability. If you have any kind of social unrest, any type of war, any type of natural disaster, any increase in fuel price, our visitor arrivals go down, and so does our source of revenue. So what we need to do is really take a look at a long-term vision and plan to really diversify our economy. Working with the Kauai Economic Development Board, they have identified certain clusters that would work out on Kauai, one being agriculture. If the state and the counties and government can provide the necessary infrastructures for farmer to farm, provide smaller parcels that are more manageable for our startup farmers, we can do this thing. If we're able to create a processing, packaging, and storage facility, we can get farmers to take their products from the field and create value-added products and really create an export market and feed our island. If we can support the farming industry and ranching industry, we can increase their profitability. They'll be able to increase their yield. They'll be able to increase their production and create more jobs. The second thing that we've identified is to be able to invest in health and wellness. Right now, as our aging population grows and as the baby boomers are aging, we're going to have a serious need for assisted living facilities. We're going to need in-home nursing care, and we've identified that we're going to need a lot of kupuna care and elder care. These are all good living wages in industries that we can create. We just need to invest in them, and it's going to take some political will. The other thing that we've identified is high technology. Very good paying jobs, A lot of our students are very interested in computer science, my son included. When you take a look at what's being offered at KCC, right now what the state is trying to do is they're trying to boost our IT infrastructure. Right now, our broadband speeds are not up to par. When you have kids signing on at Hanalei School to do their testing and too much kids are signing in at the same time and they're falling off of the internet, we got huge problems. High technology, software production are all three industries that we've identified that we should be investing in. The other thing that we should be investing in is in arts and culture. When you take a look at the economic impact in Hilo and they have the Merry Monarch, even the economic impact we have when we bring in these big hula productions or music festivals, it is profound. I can tell you from first-hand experience, when we have these festivals, it's not just arts and culture and feel good. There's a direct economic impact. When we look at our numbers in the store, it spikes. The other thing we've identified was sports and recreation. That's why I wholeheartedly support events like the Kauai Marathon, now that we don't have the PGA Grand Slam of Golf. The economic impact for that Kauai Marathon is profound. It creates health and wellness, and I tell you, it's just a great way to diversify our economy. To me, that's the way we can increase revenue and not be so dependent on visitor arrivals.
Thank you. Question number four. It's only on the North Shore you get these questions, I'll bet. Hawaii's medical marijuana program is currently transitioning from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Health. Do you see a movement in Hawaii to decriminalize the recreational use of marijuana? Why or why not would you support this? Would you support a dispensary?
Next question. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you know what? We are elected to deal with some very tough issues. We had to deal with marriage equality, and we're going to be dealing with this marijuana issue. But I can tell you, my wife thinks I'm crazy because I operate best when I'm under pressure. When everything is going chaotic, I see things in slow motion. I can tell you right now that moving the medical marijuana program from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Health was the right thing to do, because they're the appropriate agency. They should not be overseen by the Department of Public Safety. It's really a health thing. We found scientific facts that for people that are ill, there's tremendous benefits for medical marijuana. As far as the recreational use and legalization and decriminalization, I'm very open to the discussion, and I'm proud to say that I'm endorsed by SHOPO, but I was very honest to tell them that we need to have a broad, honest discussion, because when we are discussing it at the legislature, I brought to the table that right now history speaks profoundly, that when we created prohibition on the alcohol industry, that's what created the Al Capones, that's what created the moonshiners, that's when people that shouldn't be getting their hands on it were getting their hands on it, and it created a black market that got flushed to the underworld. The value of having the discussion of decriminalizing or legalizing is you're going to take a black market industry, an underground industry, and you'll be flushing it to the surface where government can do a few things. They can oversee it and monitor it. They can create parameters such as we have alcohol and tobacco laws. They can create parameters that people have to stick within, and they can create penalties if you go beyond those parameters. And the other thing that we're looking at is a tax revenue source. Right now, we're trying to look and see what Colorado, what Washington is doing, and we're looking at the numbers of revenue that's coming in that are going to their schools, that are going to their police departments, and it's something we cannot ignore. So I think the starting point is to see what the discussion is going to look like. We're going to have to hear what the people want to see on Kauai, and we have to be mindful of the unintended consequences. Thank you.
Thank you. Question number five, how would you address the direct impacts to our beloved places like Kaiʻi Beach?
Direct impacts to Kaiʻi Beach. This is something that is near and dear to my good friend Joe Guy's heart. We've been talking about it since our days back on the county council. You know, since I'm the only guy up on this table and I don't see any of the other representatives from the other districts, I got to say that it is a blessing to represent the most beautiful district on the island of Kauai. Beautiful people, beautiful places, and in fact, in the state of Hawaii and around the world, we have some of the most beautiful places, and it is a blessing and a curse. It's a double-edged sword, folks, and I can tell you why. When you represent some of the most beautiful areas of the island, like Ke'e Beach, there's something that just magnetizes people, locals and visitors alike. They want to be a part of Ke'e. There's something magical about it. But we have a serious capacity issue. And it was brought to my attention from Joel. It has been brought to my attention when my wife and my kids have tried to go there and we just turn around because there's no parking. Right now we have a serious capacity issue. I seriously think that some of the ideas that Joel had as far as partnering with the visitor industry, some of the hotels, if government has to provide incentives to encourage good behavior, we should be looking at that to create some kind of shuttle system, because right now the capacity is at overload right now. It is. I know a lot of local people just have given up on going to Ke'e because there's no capacity. Some of the other areas around Hawaii that have tried to address capacity issues are places like Hanauma Bay. But that's where the community has to come in and give us the direction of what they want to see. The way that Hanauma Bay controls capacity is they charge you to go in, and they actually close the beach park on certain days to let the beach recover, and they have a certain amount of people that they allow down each day. So there are certain areas where we've got to have the serious discussion, and we've got to build some of those partnerships, and I look forward to that discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kawakami. Our sixth question, and definitely a North Shore question, do you think the hemp production in Hawaii should be legalized in Hawaii as an economic and agricultural asset?
Well, I co-introduced a bill to legalize hemp for agricultural use, and I can tell you why I wholeheartedly support it. For people that are worried that it's marijuana, this thing ain't marijuana. It's like saying that O'Doul's is beer. It just ain't beer. It might look like it, but it ain't the same thing. No, but really, in all actuality, folks, hemp has so many useful purposes. I know that when we introduced a bill, Elijah Frank was calling the office. A lot of people were calling the office to support this initiative. Felicia Cowden was supporting the initiative, and I can tell you why. For hemp, there's so many uses. It's been around for so many years. We used to really incorporate it into our lifestyle and as part of our economy. I mean, it's a great fiber. It's a great fabric. It's very low on the impact on the environment. It's a food source. They got like hemp wine and hemp chips, which is quite tasty, unbelievably. But you can also use it in construction material. So if we could find a way to propagate the crop and to manufacture on an island, which would be ideal, we could really create another economic driver for the island. But for me, the appealing thing is that we've got to remember, for most of us, if you're third or fourth generation Kauai, we came probably because of agriculture, sugar industry, pineapple. I know my grandparents came because of the sugar plantations. And Kauai has always been agriculture. It always has. It's been here before the hotels. So with such heavy ag use, we found out that hemp has some very good bioremediation purposes for it. It actually heals the land. Hemp will actually suck out toxins from the soil and help to remediate it. So I think if we could find a way to incorporate hemp into the crop rotation for some of our ag operations, it'd be very beneficial for our island, not just economically, but environmentally. We just passed a bill in the legislature that was signed by the governor to start allowing UH to do the research. So that's one small step in that right direction for hemp production on Kauai. Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Still got a few minutes. You get 1 minute at the end here if you want to wrap it up.
Sure.
Up to you.
I can take a few questions. You guys are up for that. Just don't ask anything too crazy. By all means, folks, I'm here at your will. Sir.
Thanks, Jared. It was a really nice presentation. I appreciate it. I heard the emphasis towards agriculture, which appeals to everybody here, I'm sure. But the concern is, how do we distinguish the types of agriculture related to GMOs, which is very unpopular here? And how do we keep the GMO efforts localized. I think it's there's a feeling that shouldn't be in Kilauea. And yet, how do we stop that?
Are we on? You guys can hear me all? All right. Thank you so much for the question. That's a very good question. I'm going to get to the answer to that question, but I want to go back a little bit backwards to give you my background in agriculture and supporting agriculture. And I got a little story to tell. When Auntie Louisa Wooten, I send my wife shopping all the time to the farmer's market, so she came home one day and said, "There's this lady selling this great goat cheese, but she's treated like an outcast. Why is that?" So we did some digging, and we found out that under the county's sunshine markets, they didn't allow value-added products. So what we did is we created a bill to allow just that to happen, because we wanted to increase the profitability once again for our farmers to take their product and create that value-added, which is where all the profit is. Going back to the GMO issue and how we can keep it localized, when we talk to the biotech companies, they have no interest in coming out on this side. And I think what we really need to do is we need to create venues for food production, and the state has tremendous amounts of ability to do that. And when I say that is we have these ADC lands and state lands that are very prohibitive from getting a small farmer onto those properties just by the sheer acreage that's out there for them to go and get. I think if we can focus on supporting our local farmers through food production, through infrastructure, and to get them to be using the lands and getting them on the land to do food production, it'd be a great way to occupy it locally with food production, whether that's organic farming or traditional farming. I think the main emphasis is to make sure that we're producing food on the islands. And so if we can empower some of our local farmers. And it was really exciting. One more story. With Quiet Economic Development Board, I sat on the Food and Ag Committee. And even with Big Save, we were struggling with some of the local farmers because they knew how to farm terrifically. They could grow the most beautiful produce, but they were farmers first and they were business people second. So we tried to see how can we transition these farmers to have that entrepreneurial spirit and give them the tools that they need so they could become farmers and become profitable. So through KEDB, we created a challenge. It was an entrepreneurship challenge where we offered farmers the opportunity to take courses at KCC, entrepreneurship courses, and we put up cash rewards for the best models and best practices. So I think if we can empower our local farmers that are out there working hard to feed all of us, to get to occupy the land, that would be the best way to keep it localized. Mayor, you got a question about TAT? Your TAT?
No. We got time for another question and then a 15-minute break.
Bill.
Who's the lucky one?
Thank you. Hi, Derek.
Hi there.
I just support 100% in everything you just talked about, and I would vote for you big time for all of that. But part of Kauai is our underwater reefs, and we have the biggest destruction ever.
You're listening to KKCR. We're currently having some stream buffering problems. We'll be back shortly as soon as we catch up with the internet feed. You are listening to the Kauai Mayoral Forum at Kilauea Elementary School, as well as the Kauai State Representative Forum. Some great words. Great to have it on the air, too. We're rebuffering right now. As soon as we re-catch the signal, we will be back with you. In the meantime, I'm going to play a little music as we wait.
Kilauea Neighborhood Association, Hanalei and Haena Community Association, and the Kilauea School PTSA are happy to present the forum to provide the opportunity for the North Shore community to voice their concerns and hear where their county mayor... They messed up the script. Stands on those issues. Please, we ask the public to be respectful and demonstrate aloha during this event. I'd like to introduce the candidates for our mayor, our incumbent, Bernard Cavario. Challenger Dustin Barca. Challenger Curtis Hendricks Lake. Challenger Deborah Lynn De Silva Caverio. Each candidate will be introduced their platform and have 2 minutes each in the beginning. There will be one mandatory question that will be asked with a one-minute answer. Three questions will be asked randomly to each candidate with two-minute answers. Finally, each candidate at the end will have a one-minute closing statement.
You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. Enjoy the candidate forum for another hour.
Special present. Who's got A?
I got D.
We have A, B, C, and D.
One more time.
So, Mr. Carvalho first with A, then I think Dustin with B.
Wow, they're getting ready. I just want to tell people, a caller called in, said it's Wednesday, Church of the Pacific, Citizen Cope. I just dropped that out there. We were listening to him in the meantime. They're getting their P's and Q's sorted out here.
So our first question, here we go. All candidates. Introduction.
Where do we start, Yosh?
A.
What? Aloha, my kakou. Aloha. Happy to be here this evening with all of you to share with you some of the great things that are happening out on the island. Bernard P. Carvalho Jr., running for re-election for the office of mayor of the county of Kauai and Niihau. Just wanted to get right into it. My wife, Regina, my daughter, Brittany, my granddaughter, Velina, and my dad, Bernard Sr., right there. Okay. What I wanted to do in my opening is really start off with some of the results and some of the action programs and projects we've been able to accomplish and get into within these 5.5 years that I've been have the honor to serve you, the people, all the people of Kauai and Niihau. First of all, the Wailapa Stream cleanup in 2009, federal funding was in danger of lapsing. And working with Senator Inouye, we worked very closely, very emotional project with what happened at Wailapa, but we were able to secure it and clean it up. 80 improvements at Haena Beach Park were completed, very important, as we continue to stay connected. Honolulu Blackpot Beach Park, we were able to secure and purchase the Hodge property and, of course, the Sheehan properties to secure that area. We are moving into really the full-on master plan for that whole area of our beautiful Honolulu. So that is done. The rules governing commercial activities have been adopted and moving as we better manage our waterways, our streams, and the ocean areas. That's done. The Honolulu Pier Canopy in partnership with the Honolulu Rotary Club is beautiful, as you all know. An upgrade to the wastewater system was just completed over in Blackpot Beach Park. I want you to understand the importance of that additional septic system that has been installed. A lot of people, of course, utilize that beautiful park for camping. Done. An upgrade to the wastewater system just was done 2 months ago. We'll begin the master planning, like I said, which incorporate all of you to come and share in this wonderful opportunity to master plan that beautiful part, Blackpot Beach and all of that. Connect CTY. We're already looking at this disaster coming away. We've managed to place a container across a Kanale school filled with cots and blankets, and I want to make sure that was ready and there to go. Okay. Mahalo. I have much more, but I just wanted to share with you the exciting things that are happening.
Mr. Barca.
Aloha. Mahalo, everybody, for coming out. It's an important forum. You know, we've had them around the island, and we're happy to have one in our hometown here in Kilauea. So thank you guys for coming out. I grew up here on the North Shore. You know, I always say I'm not too good at talking about myself, so I'll just say a few things about myself. A lot of the things that I'm running on four really important issues. That's food production. And we import 90% of our food here on the island and in Hawaii. It's very important for us to start utilizing our agriculture lands and creating better opportunities for our farmers. I hear a lot of people say, your average farmer is 60 years old and nobody like farm and this and that, but there's a food revolution going on in the world where people aren't trusting the people making their food and everybody wants to grow their own food, but no more the opportunity. So what we want to create is opportunity, like the Kilauea Ag Center could be a blueprint for the rest of our island, giving people smaller scale properties to produce food production on our island. You know, on our island we have 5 acres, I think, minimum ag land, and that's too much for your average small scale farmer to produce. You know, we have a lot of things. Everybody kind of has an idea of what we're gearing towards, and that's a lot of change on our island in a positive way. So I'd be looking forward to giving more of that information throughout the night. Mahalo.
Thank you, Ms. De Silva Caveria.
Aloha, everyone. I'm not going to let you call me by my long name, so my name is Ms. Debs for you guys all. Nice to meet all you guys. I'm a mother of 6, a grandmother to 12. I'm 54 years old. I originated from Oahu, living in the gangster-style environment of Kalihi Valley, and decided that I needed to raise my kids in a more nice, educational, and much calmer environment. So I decided 25 years ago to move to Kauai, and that's where I raised my 6 kids. I decided to take on this challenge because my interest is for the elderly and for our children. Our elderly are going to end up falling off the bandwagon, and our children are the ones that's going to have to take charge and move forward and keep up of what the elderly has left behind for their knowledge. So that is my agenda. Another agenda that I have is the land. Everybody who lives on Kauai should have a piece of property. And I'm going to work hard to make sure that everybody does. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lake?
Aloha, folks. I'm Hapa Hendricks. Mr. Kawakami, I'd love to talk to you after this. Great thing you had up here. Who am I? When I was 17 years old, Daniel Inouye called my grandmother up and said, "Yo, man, we need to get you to sign a waiver so that he can join the intelligence community." And my grandma goes, "Are you sure you got the right number?" Because when I went to South Dakota at the Rosebud Indian Reservation, my dad sent me there because I broke into Nomi Ida's house here at Kapa'a, and he said he just couldn't handle me. So he sent me to live with my grandmother, who was a Sioux shaman. I'm part Hawaiian. I got the John Keawe bloodline rocking through my veins. I can feel it right now. I'm also half German. I'm also part Lakota Sioux Indian. My grandmother was related to Sitting Bull. Anyway, she hands me the phone, and I speak with Senator Inouye for a little while, and he says, "Hey, Hapa, we're going to have you join the military in a couple of months. You're going to have a top secret security clearance. You're going to be a cryptologist. You're going to learn you're going to learn German, Russian, Polish during the day, and you're going to go to the Rosebud Intelligence School at night." And I was like, "What's the Rosebud Intelligence School?" It's like, how to take over a country using economic hitman protocols. I was like, God, that sounds fun. So I went to East Germany in 1988, and I got to be a serious player over there because you know how you devalue a currency? You spend a lot of money there. So it was a lot of fun. Also got to bring down the wall on November 9th, 1989. That was pretty cool. And then I became a nuclear biological chemical warfare expert, got sent to Basra, Iraq, was kidnapped for 364 days by our federal government, and was released on August 6, 1991, which this is a very special date for me. After that, I became the first soldier to go from military intelligence to special forces. Then I did surveillance for Ike's Whisper, which is pretty much everything from the Joint Special Operations Command to the World Bank. And now I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you. So we're going to keep the same order throughout because that was a random choice. And this will be the first mandatory question for all candidates. And you'll have 1 minute to respond. And we'll start with Mr. Cavario. What is the most important issue you feel Kauai faces, and how would you resolve it?
I think the most important issue right now overall, as we all come together as one community, is really supporting
how we grow and how we manage ourselves in a sustainable way. Agriculture, of course, is at the forefront. Right here in Kilauea, 75-acre ag park right out here, did a stewardship agreement with Malama Kauai. The people will be able to manage this part of our island. Housing just came up over here in Kolapua. We just did the blessing of that particular project. Done right here in this part of our island. Overall, I believe agriculture is at the forefront. We need to do a good job at that. We have a diverse community. We have an opportunity to do all kinds of agriculture. I think we have the great, great resources here. We have the aina, we have the land, we have the natural resources. We've laid it out in a way that we can really support all ag, from commercial and, of course, looking at organic agriculture, looking at coffee, and looking at all the opportunities that are going to come our way. So I'm totally supportive of agriculture as a big, big part of who we are.
Thank you.
Can you repeat the question for me, please?
Yes, certainly. But to remind everybody, 1 minute on this question. Mandatory question. What is the most important issue you feel Kauai faces, and how would you resolve it?
Well, I think at a larger scale, I'd say that chemical corporations experiment in our island is probably the biggest issue on the island and internationally right now. You know, when you think of the bigger scale issues, I think it's the ones we put on the table when it comes to agriculture, our culture, restoring the culture, getting our waterways back for the people instead of, you know, our waterways are being used in the wrong ways, let's say. And, you know, the drug issues. So those are the biggest four big issues on our island, I'd say. But on a day-to-day basis, I'd say it's our roads and affordable housing. And those are things that we really need to put our everyday efforts into. But on a larger scale, I think the chemical corporations being here experimenting is the biggest issue. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Debs, mandatory question. What is the most important issue you feel for Kauai faces, and how would you resolve it?
For me, I feel that the biggest issue on Kauai is the abuse of the elderly. We have a lot of elderly that lives in home or in a care center, and they get abused. People don't really know that they get abused, but they do. I've experienced it firsthand when I had my grandfather staying in an elderly home. So that would be the main thing that I would attack. The second thing that I would attack would be the GMO issue. I would really want the GMO to be off the island, because since they've been here, especially on the west side, and I live on the west side, we have a lot of illnesses that goes on down there. I mean, more illnesses there than you would have on any other side of the island. So that would be my concern. Thank you.
Got it. I spent the last couple of years here doing an unauthorized NSTAR count or operation on the county of Kauai. I had four bicycles stolen. All four bikes had a hidden camera on it. So I wanted to introduce myself to the criminal element here. I know I only have 1 minute, so I'm talking really fast. It's not because I'm lying. I also tested all the river waters, and we can do something called the Homeland Security Presidential Directive Number 7 to evict all five GMOs from the county of Kauai and ask them to leave nicely because of Seattle Soccer Mom 76 and the revenations of the tourist dollar in conjunction with the GMO. And let me quote Seattle Soccer Mom 76. Not going back to Kauai this year, first time in 7 years, to GMOE. Now, I don't even know what GMOE means, but I have a feeling as a former nuclear biological chemical warfare expert, might have something to do with a little bit of something called atrazine in the water. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll go into the random choice of the questions, and we hit. They'll have 2 minutes to answer each question, but to give them a heads up, Mr. Cavario, you will be answering questions 1, 3, and 5. Mr. Barca, you will be answering questions 2, 4, 6. Ms. Debs, questions 1, 3, 6. And Mr. Lake, questions 2, 4, 7. Okay, I'll read off the questions, and we'll start with Mr. Cavario with question number 1. Although the North Shore is classified as a special planning area under the North Shore Development Plan, the North Shore community has the highest concentration of transient vacation rentals in the county, with a high percentage of outside visitor destination area. How do you propose to restore our communities to residential rather than resort use? Identify specific actions your administration will take to restore the legal zoning regulations to preserve the special rural charm of the North Shore Special Planning Committee. Two minutes.
Without question, TVRs have transformed our communities, and in many cases, not for the better. And I know we got to do a better job at regulating and working closely with our community to understand the importance of how we move forward. In the general plan in the year 2000, in that particular piece, the policy was set forth to regulate, not eliminate. And so we need to look at how we internally are managing this very important part of our island. Our planning department has initiated close to 100 contested case hearings already, so we're already working on that. I know it's going to take time and effort, but it's very sensitive for all of us here. We want to make sure we manage this in the right way. We want to make sure we don't get into any legal issues as much as possible. There are different levels of issues we need to address from the state and the county. But our planning department, like I said, has already initiated close to 100 contested case hearings over the past year related to TVR violations and has collected over $140,000. So at least it's moving. We have a plan in place. More than 10% of the registered TVRs for non-conforming use certificates have been forfeited since the law took in effect. So we're really looking at and massaging that to work closely to come forward and manage that, and at the same time make sure that we can look at ways to work closely with Mr. Kawakami. Look at a bill that he worked on in the 30 seconds that talked about revisiting the ordinance to do tighter restrictions on TVRs at that level. If we can work together with the state and county to better manage and understand the importance of keeping the charm and character of this beautiful island and making sure that importance of regulation and enforcement is there, we're doing it as we speak, folks. Very important, very emotional, very contentious at times. But it's how we best manage ourselves in this particular, because we need to keep the charming character of our beautiful side, this beautiful North Shore of our island, and we're working on it. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Barca, question number 2. The county recently implemented the use of use-based taxation that sometimes conflicts with the underlying zoning. Do you support this policy, and why or why not?
That's a great question, because I think everybody I know is being side-blinded with that tax inflation right now. And, you know, I think it's wrong that everyone wasn't informed about this. I think it should have been on the front page of the newspaper. I think it should have been, like today they had a meeting, they want to put on a seminar that teaches people how to deal with the taxes, but that should have been done beforehand, that should have been done way ahead of time, and that brings us back to, you know, getting people involved in what's going on our island. I think the biggest issues on our island, nobody's really paying attention to until it really affects them, and this is a perfect case of it. I think the best thing we could do is go back to what tax, the way we were doing it before, and then figuring out a better solution. I think we look at California, Prop, 13. The price where you buy your house is the land tax forever, and that lets people live in their homes, grow in their homes, and retire in their homes. You know, there's no... you never side-blinded like we are right now, and I think that's one of the most important things, is letting people you know, buy homes and live there forever. And that's the dream, yeah. And that's what we all, our working class people, that's what they work for. So, you know, I think we really need to go back to the drawing board, switch it back at least to what it was before, so people aren't side blinded right now. And, you know, I know a lot of people that are paying double, triple of what they've been paying for a long time, and this is going to run more locals out of their homes, and that's what we know, like, mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Debs, question number one. Although the North Shore is classified as a special planning area under the North Shore Development Plan, the North Shore community has the highest concentration of transient vacation rentals in the county, with a high percentage of outside visitor use rather than resort use. How do you propose to restore the community to residential versus resort use? Identify specific actions your administration will take to restore the legal zoning regulations and to preserve the special rural nature charm of the North Shore planning area.
First of all, I would implement one person, an honest person that won't be able to take bribes or anything, to go out there and mandate the zoning codes to everybody who has a rental or a vacation rental. Secondly, I would make sure that no other hotels would be ever built on this island, because we cannot accommodate the heavy capacity that this island is not used to, especially for this North Shore Development Plan. I've just recently found out that in the year of 2016, that they're going to implement trying to put in a permit so that the co-founder of eBay, Pierre, can build a hotel plantation resort down in Hanalei, and told them that he was going to be putting $400 million into the Garden Island. Seriously, $400 million? Who's going to see $400 million? Are we going to see the $400 million? No. So I don't think that is ever going to happen. That's my concern. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lake, question number two. The county recently implemented use-based taxation that sometimes conflicts with the underlying zoning. Do you support this policy? Why or why not?
I'm going to go ahead and evade that question and talk about rips and reaps. Rosebud Intelligence Programs, there is something called Rebellion Internal Protocols and Rebellion External Aggression Protocols. So I did a couple of rips already just for that, you know, National Security Threat Assessment Risk Evaluation thing I did on Kauai. First thing I did was, of course, create a mayor's insurgency and ask for people's revolutionary vote, not just their vote. Second thing I did a lecture at the United Nations for a tent event for Joan Roth and Shamina Dengazag about 8 years ago. It was on Kalontic morphogenetic physics and its effect on the human body. I happen to be an expert at that. I have no idea why. I kind of had a near-death experience in San Jose, Costa Rica, at September 21st, 2002. It gave me a expanded level of awareness. So let's just talk about the reaps. I called 193 United Nations countries, all 193 State Departments, and ask them for a consulate or embassy request for the country of Kauai. Now, this is the free and united country of Kauai government. God, that's funny. Anyway, 166 of them got back to me, and they all did the same thing. I don't know if anybody wants to know, but 27 of them, including the United States, have not got back to me, but I suspect that's why that whole sovereignty thing came over the last couple of months ago. Anyway, the 166 countries that did got back to me, they all gave me the same number, basically. They gave me a number to a real estate agent in their office. So I'm asking the people of Kauai to look at all these, I call them early indicator protocols for power transition model economics. It's where you look at every single sector in the public sphere of influence, and you see it is failing. And I got to just look at you guys and go, man, are you guys crazy to acquiesce to
failure in every single public sector of influence? That's just bananas. And all you guys are calling me crazy for saying that Hawaiian sovereignty is Haole salvation. It allows us to forgive the United States government for what Barack Obama is... Oh.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Cavario, question number three. What is your approach to deal with the increasing amount of waste on our island is generating, and what is your solution if the site of our new landfill is no longer viable?
Since we got into office in 2008, our recycling rate has increased from 29% to 43%. I am an advocate for diversion. We need to do a good job at an aggressive diversion program. We're moving forward into that. We've been working aggressively to divert as much from the landfill as possible. On the table when you first got into office was to site a new landfill up at Ma'alo. I'm confident that this will be the landfill of the future. The landfill of today in Kekaha is about, we're managing that to see how we can close that landfill and open up this new landfill, which would include a total resource recovery park, which would include all of diversion, composting, green waste, all of it centrally located. We are continuously working closely to make sure that we actually move forward on that. We're exploring new technologies that are coming our way and how to really manage ourselves and being to the environment and the land that we so much love. It's important for you to understand that we continue as a county operation to incorporate many of the diversion programs internally as well, which we're doing. We've established green teams, etc. Overall, folks, we're not going to be shipping anything away. We're going to be managing on a waste, make it work for us, making sure that we continue to teach and educate the three R's and understand the importance of really managing ourselves in this particular area. Divert, curbside recycling. We did it for a pilot project in Lihue. I want to move in that. We're looking forward to opening up a brand new MRF, a materials recovery facility. We need to sort a clean MRF and understand the importance of managing that part. There's so many different factors involved in this particular topic. But be assured that we're moving. We have a plan in place. We know where we got to go. We know what we got to do. We're educating people and understanding the importance of this particular topic, and the numbers tell you 23%, 43%. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Barca, question number four. The internet and social media are changing how visitors plan and book their vacations, where they stay, where they go, and what they do while they are here. What impacts do you see from these changes, and how would the county manage them, if at all?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I can hear some of the people in the back up here, so please be respectful. Question number four for Mr. Barca. The internet and social media are changing how visitors plan and book vacations, where they stay, where they go, and what they do while they are here. What impacts do you see these changes, and how would the county manage them, if at all?
Well, you know, social media has got its pluses and minuses, you know. Positives and negatives. Gives our visitors easier access to get hotels, cars, etc., information, restaurants, whatnot. But it also gives them a lot of information of places to go that aren't also always the safest places to go. And, you know, I think that's the biggest problem with social media is people getting veered in the wrong directions on our island. You know, I think we could create, as a county, maybe an app for an iPhone or something that gives people the right direction to go on our island. You know, everybody who comes on the island downloads the app, and it gives them information, where to go, what restaurants, what towns. You know, it's a possibility, but controlling social media is hard as a county or whatnot, you know. So I think using social media as our county to direct our tourism and whatnot to the right places
and you know, not let them get veered into dangerous places, no lifeguards, places they shouldn't be. And I think that's the downside of social media and Kauai. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Debs, question number 3. What is your approach to deal with the increasing amount of waste on our island is generating, and what is your solution for the site for the new landfill is no longer viable?
For one thing, the most waste we have is food, so that they could make arrangements with our farmers to give the food scraps to the pigs or whoever is going to eat it. Another is appliances. A lot of people with new technology coming out on refrigerators, washing machines, you know, dishwashers, there's a lot of those that end up in the landfill. With a lot of imagination, you can come up with something very awesome. You can take an old refrigerator and you can gut it, gut out the wirings or whatever, put a box around it, and you have an outside cooler box when you have parties with your friends. You could make it look really awesome. So I'm thinking there's a lot of things that we can do with our waste, where we could teach our kids how to do projects or teach schools, have crafts, anything. Because for one thing, the landfill, you know, later on they're going to take that landfill and they're going to grade it out, and then they're going to sell it, and people are going to build homes on them, and who knows what's going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lake, question number 4. The internet and social media are changing how our visitors plan and book the vacations, where they stay, where they go, and what they do while they are here. What impacts do you see from these changes, and how should the county manage them, if at all?
Again, the best way to deal with these is, like I said, when you're revenating and you're asking people why they're coming here, like I said, the Seattle Super Soccer Mom 76 no longer wants to come here because there's too many GMOs here. I think that's a good way to understand why tourism industry is coming or diminishing. I mean, it was in the front page of the paper today, the tourist dollar is diminishing. We need to find ways to bring people here, and I got a couple of them. January 1st, I decided to be the American filmmaker. It was the first time I did some documentary films. I'd helped somebody named Eric Marola do something called Cancer is Serious Business. I encourage every single one of you to YouTube that. It's on YouTube. It's free. Cancer is Serious Business will allow us a multi-billion dollar revenue stream that we can allow the government to help subsidize and give to the people. I'm talking about a 70,000 person strong pharmaceutical industry dealing with something that I learned as not a biological warfare expert. Phenylacetyl isoglutamine compounds or protein peptides have an amazing ability to cure cancer. And there's someone named Devorah Samid, who's a fellow intelligence asset, who had blocked that cure for cancer. And I could totally bust her out, man. And I'm saying no more for that. So I'm working with this guy named Dr. Brzezinski. We can bring the cure for cancer here and create a tourism industry based on a cancer cure. Now, it's illegal to say that you have a cancer cure in front of an audience. So I say, bring it. Let me prove it. I will go to court any time and prove that I got the cure for cancer. Because as I was doing, am I up? 1 minute? Up? As I was doing this documentary on Kauai, I had to drink 30 days worth of river water, which really sucked because I lost 87 pounds and got all the symptoms of leukemia, which was bananas, man. That hurt. So anyway, I worked on this phenylacetylglutamine compound of Brzezinski's peptides. Again, Google it. Cancer is serious business, or YouTube cancer is serious business, and I can bring that here.
Thank you. We're into our last questions each for each candidate. Mr. Cavario, question number 5. Small-scale farming is included by many as a component of sustainability on Kauai. How would you support this sector?
I 102,000% support this effort, as I did in my opening statement right here in Kilauea, the 75-acre ag park done. We have a stewardship agreement going at Malama Kauai. Some of the other, the tea farm I visited right across the street, organic farm right across the street. Of course, the food forest, I've been there several times. It's right here in our community, our community. Some of the other things, we're working close with other landowners. Small, available land, making it available to farming is important. Anahola, Kalepa, Koloa, and Kekaha, we're looking at ag parks similar to this one right here. We're already talking with our farmers. Another project we launched in 2010 was the Kauai Grown Marketing Program. We have signage that is in our stores now. We're marketing our own Kauai-made products and Kauai-made produce through a signage program, and that's already up and going. Two other initiatives, a commercial kitchen, of course, so that we can farmers can create their value-added products. I think Representative Kawakami mentioned that earlier. A growers exchange as well, that's also moving. We're working closely with Kauai Community College on the food sustainability part and the Ag Institute that I think is great for young people to get involved in agriculture and teach them and educate them and get them inspired because we're the garden island of the whole world. Availability of water is critical. Repair and restoration of the water flow of the Hanalei River and for the taro farmers, working with them, working with the porters in Kilauea to look at the water right here for the ag park, working with the state to the Upper Kapahi Reservoir. Important, folks, working with the state to repair the Wailua Reservoir. I'm in conversations with all of these people, providing financial support to the East Kauai Waters Users Cooperative. I'm in conversations with them consistently to see how we can get water from up above, like this happened before, down to the lower area so our people can farm, period. But there's issues there. Before, we had agricultural plantations that would have managed some of the waterways, but that's not happening. So we need to look at that. We need to understand it. We get to get the right people at the table and really make agriculture thrive. We can do it, folks. I believe it. We have the right people with the right hearts in place. Mahalo.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Barca, question number six. Which places or access ways on Kauai should be conserved permanently for future generations to enjoy, and what would you do to preserve them?
Well, that's a big issue right here on the North Shore, you know. I know our access ways problems, and I know our important places that we want to preserve here on the North Shore, but you know, I think every community's got their own. I cannot say where in Waimea to go and where here to go and where there to go. You know, I think it comes down to asking each community, you know, where their special places are, where their trails are, you know, where their access places are that are being, you know, withheld from them. And we have a right to access to our beaches. We have a right to access to our waters. And that's some... that's our rights that we need to practice, you know, and we need to, you know, people need to know what their rights are, you know. We have a lot of, you know, we could follow the legal protocols that are already at hand. You know, people are, like, you know, locally we got Kaupea Beach. I grew up going to Kaupea Beach my whole life, fishing and surfing, the third beach down here, Kaupea. Now I got to walk, you know, 2 miles from the other side, Kaliwai side, the access. And, you know, those are the kind of issues we're dealing with. You know, we got wealthy people who are taking over our access areas, our rivers, our trails. And, you know, it doesn't work for our middle class, our lower class people who live off of fishing, off of diving these areas. And, you know, it's a big issue, especially here on the North Shore. And I can only talk for the North Shore because I cannot say I like access to all these other places because that community is Kuleana, and that's who we need to work with, is those communities. I cannot speak for any other community but myself until I'm the mayor of this island. Then I represent the island. Right now, I represent my community. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Debs, same question. Which places or access ways on Kauai should be conserved permanently for future generations to enjoy, and what would you do to preserve them?
Well, first of all, I would find out all these homeowners who have access points on their property and would negotiate something to buy that piece off of them so our island and our people will have access to those areas That's what I would do, because our island is everybody's island.
Thank you. Mr. Lake, the seventh question.
I agree with all of these guys on that. I think the easiest way to deal with things like that, though, is to really look hard at, again, at Hawaiian sovereignty, because what that does is that refocuses and allows for transparency in government so that we don't have to deal with anything outside of the island. And if you guys don't think you guys don't have that power, I'm here to tell you that you do. First thing I would do as mayor is call a referendum and see if there's enough people that literally want Hawaiian sovereignty. And I don't think people are realizing how beneficial to the economy Hawaiian sovereignty would be, including to the people that aren't Hawaiians. So if you guys need to look at that as an all-inclusive issue, and I think it would be the best way to move forward, especially since I believe the government has kind of lost its way and they're losing a lot of money. I mean, I had to investigate why $2 trillion was stolen. Anybody know how to steal $2 trillion from the U.S. federal government? Because the Hapa knows. I do. I also know how to steal $90 million from another government and bring it here. So if these guys are doing that, the federal, and ask the General Accounting Office of the federal government if they are not missing $2 trillion in 2001. I'll call them a liar. So anyway, you're looking at that kind of corruption. There's no way to fix that, but to literally, like, every martial arts discipline I've ever studied says to center yourself in a world of chaos so that you can look out and you can see that the world is off kilter. And if you center yourself, well, you get the best view, man.
Thank you. Okay, since we still do have more time and we went through the questions that we randomly chose, we're going to let each candidate has a copy of the questions. If they'd like to pick a question that they would like to answer, I'll be happy to read it for them and let them answer it. And we'll start with Mr. Cavario. You want me to pick one for you? Access? Which places or accesses, ways on Kauai should be conserved permanently for future generations to enjoy, and what would you do to preserve them?
Very important, preserve, the word preserve. Right out here, Kapea Beach, we're working on that very shortly. We'll be visiting that site. I'm already in conversations. I think that particular location has to be managed well. We have the resources in place. We're talking to the landowners. We're moving, and that's going to happen. Lipa'uli is another one. We're talking closely with some of the landowners on how we're going to manage that, working on, I think, access to the beaches are number one. We also need to look at preserving our Hula Maunae Kea Beach, which we just did. We have a stewardship agreement now. Very important, folks. The very sacred part of Kea, done. We have a stewardship agreement with Hui Malama Omakana. And Maka'aina Omakana, and they're already managing that. Kanelu'uma is another very sacred part of our island, working with a stewardship agreement with a Hawaiian organizations to manage and malama that. I look forward to doing one of those major, major preservation projects in each moku. Ohanal Halalea, Ko'olau, right here, Ko'olau, Puna, Kona, Ni'ihau. We have five land divisions on our island that is thriving. What grew in one didn't grow in the other. We need to understand that. What waterways flow in Halalea does not necessarily flow the same in Kona, which is on the west side. We need to understand that. We need to stay connected to our community, folks. And it's all about preserving, connecting. Remember where we come from. I am a lineal descendant of Halalea and Napali. And right here, my great-great-grandfather was Charles Titcomb. Titcomb Street and Kanakele Street, right out here, was my great-great-great-grandfather. This is our aina, our aina. We share, folks. So I know I come from where I come from. I understand. And I'm very excited because we have an opportunity, folks, to really look at our land divisions and manage and make decisions based upon what thrived back then. Aloha.
Thank you. Mr. Barca, would you like to pick a question?
You can just give me one. I'll work from that.
Okay, you already answered 246, so maybe we'll go back to number 7.
What would you do to require septic systems from commercial and TVRs and residential homes that have aged and dysfunctional cesspools?
You know, that's a big issue here on the North Shore because of, where houses have been put somewhat illegally. You know, now it's kind of nipping us in the butt where we've allowed houses to be built. Now we're getting, septic overflow in our rivers, our waters. And it's a big issue, especially down here in the lower lands of Halelea down here. Hanalei to Haena is a big issue for us. I think when it comes to vacation rentals, I think, those people are in a category to be able to afford, majority of them are in a category to be able to afford to upgrade. But for our local families, I think we should be able to assist them in finding maybe environmental funding in some way or whatnot to get us up to par and on track with our septic systems. People are doing it on their own. You know, Tahiti Nui did it. That was a big issue, and they went and did it. And I think that's a blueprint for a lot of people to follow, And dealing with our old ones is another issue. You know, digging them out or filling them up with concrete or whatever we got to do, that's another issue. So, I think you look at both aspects and financially where the people are and what kind of people we're dealing with, and then we work from there. And, the septic, we're dealing with a lot of issues, environmental issues like the reef disease in the North Shore, and that's one of our biggest concerns. And, we're figuring out what the problem is, and we got a lot of things going in our water and on our reefs here on the North Shore, and that's could possibly be one of them. So we need to nip them all in the bud and start thinking environmentally for the future of our island. Mahalo.
Thank you. Ms. Debs, would you like to pick one of the questions?
I'm going to pick 7, and I'm going to jump on his wagon about the septic systems. I feel that every individual who owns a home should have an incentive to want to change their cesspools out. If you give them incentives, they will go ahead and they will do it. Regardless if they're rich, they got more money than the next person, each and every individual should be treated the same. So I would implement an incentive to have each one of them to change their cesspools out. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lake, question number 7. What will you do to require septic systems from commercial and TVRs and residential homes that have aged and dysfunctional cesspools?
I think we need to change them. We definitely have a issue with contaminating, the coral reefs. I can't tell you how powerful that is to really think about. When your coral reefs start dying, if you guys really want to understand what a Madero's Point saturation ecosystem is, read this really lovely publication by Sam Waterston of the Bureau of Interior. It's the 1971 Ferruginous Box Art Reports of Kauai. But you start understanding what biotite does and what lava does, and these are diaphanous rocks. And if you throw tons of heavy metals down that Switzerland, Sagentus from Switzerland, they made atrazine illegal in their country because, one, they know how carcinogenic it is, and they spray it by the ton here. So for that to get down into the underwater aquifer system that we live in, it literally can kill the coral. It's very easy to see why the corals are dying here, and I think those are, of course, I always call them early indicator disruption points in these wanting to fail you power transition model economics. It's insane, man. So, I would definitely fix them.
We'll start our closing up with 1 minute closing from each candidate. Mr. Carrario.
Just want to say aloha and mahalo for this opportunity. Two more projects I wanted to tell you about, excited about. On the North Shore, September 1st, we'll start with a shuttle service that will start up in the Princeville area. We worked out with all of the managers up there and the hotel people, along with our director, George Costa. So that's going to start September 1st to get people from Princeville down into Hanalei. That's one part of that's going to happen. The second part, of course, is I talked about Kolopua, which is the first housing project right in Princeville, and that's already launched, and we're starting that. That's moving 44 units for people who work in Foodland, who people work at the gas station, can live nicely and comfortably. We're going to do more things like that, folks. I'm very excited, very thankful, very humbled to be here tonight and serve as your mayor for almost 6 years. I look forward for another opportunity. There's many great things happening, folks. I wish we had more time to talk about it, but we've laid it out in so many different ways. Being mayor is so important, and responsibility covers a vast majority of things that we need to look at. So I just want to make that point. Aloha, mahalo. Thank you for coming tonight. Spirit of aloha is alive. Action with aloha is moving. We have the people. We have a great team. We know what we're doing. We have the commitment. I understand. We know where we're going. It's very diverse and cross-section. I love what I do. And just aloha, mahalo, and have a safe evening, and we're going to weather the storm together. Aloha.
Thank you. I guess we'll give a minute and a half to each candidate. Mr. Barca?
Well, that works. Mahalo, everybody, for coming out. You know, this is one of the most important mayoral runs in history. I think on our island we have the most voters in history signed up to vote this year. So, you know, I think everybody I go to door has the same thing to say, and that's it's time for change, you know. And, you know, I don't have history in politics. I'm not a politician. I'm not here to lie, cheat, and steal the people of Kauai. I'm here to work for the people, by the people, and that's no joke. I've been following the county and how it runs for quite a few years, you know. We're looking to put the right people in the right positions to run this island how it's supposed to be ran, for working class people and not for corporations. Right now, we're on a downward spiral in a routine of ways we've been doing things on this island. And it's time for change. It's time for change. And that's what we're hearing every day on the streets. It's time for change. You know, I can sit up here and talk about this, that, and this, and what I go and do and what I go and say and blah, blah, blah. But I'm a man of action. I'm not here to talk. I'm here to act. And that's what I'm here to do. And everybody who knows me, that's why I have so much people backing me. Because I don't talk bubbles. I act. And I'm a community-based leader. And that's what we're here to do. Bring the communities together of Kauai. Come together and come up with the solutions for the future. I'm a father of three. It's all about the future of our keiki. I speak from the past, the present, and the future. Mahalo.
Thank you, Ms. Debs.
I'd like to thank everyone that came out to listen to us, give you our inputs or our ideas. It was a privilege for me to come out this side. I rarely get to come out on this side, but when I do, I really enjoy it. Thank you.
Aloha, thank you very much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. I thought I'd, overcome my greatest fear, which is public speaking. And then my greatest disdain is for politics. So I thought I'd overcome that as well. Einstein said no problem can be solved from the same level of awareness that created it. So I'm seeing all these situations here on the island of Kauai, and I see them from a macro or global perspective, and I know without a doubt that I can solve a lot of these problems simply because I have the experience of doing things like this in other countries, except the only way I can say this is my intelligence has never been appropriated for benevolent means. And since I came back to Kauai 4 years ago, I honestly have never loved anybody more than I loved myself. until I met fellow emissaries of the Malama Aina light and fellow emissaries of authentic aloha that moved me into overtures into saying, hey, I can really do something here, and I think I can do something here. And really, I just kind of wanted a job, man. Coming back home without a job and looking for a job. Well, hey, you sent those two SWAT teams to my house last week? Two SWAT teams to my house last Friday, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I use that kind of pressure in other countries. I get it. But anyway, I'm not leaving. I love it here on Kauai, and, man, I hope I just get a job out of this. And if it's a mayor's job, great. If it's something different, that's great, too. Thank you. Aloha.
Thank you. I want to thank the candidates for coming out and the community for coming out. Those avocados in front of you are from Kilauea School. Thank you all.
Well, Nate's coming in now. We just finished. That was quite, I don't even know what to say. That was quite intriguing. For those following Facebook, I was trying to enter the comments, and I have a broken left hand, and I'm left-handed, so I was 1.5 finger typing, so I had to throw grammar to the wind, but it's on my page on Facebook, and I tried to kind of capture everything, but boy, it's going to look like a Monty Python ad probably when I go back and look at it. But there you had it, four candidates, Mr. Lake, Mayor Carvalho, Mr. Barca, and Ms. Debs. And you know what? Hats off, kudos, and bless them all for even throwing their hat into the political arena and getting up there. Some funny moments, some deep moments, some real moments.